59 minutes.
Okay, hello everyone. As I've said before, I'm not joining in with the February challenge because I don't really... Once I start something, I feel like I have to do it. Like I did Audiomo and I did Octava and I finished them both. And at the moment, excuse me, due to various other issues, I don't really want to be tied to doing something every day. But I'm really enjoying listening to other people's contributions. It's really great to see so much activity on Audio Boom again. Not just with the February challenge, but also with, well, I don't know, people just seem to be posting more again, which is really fantastic. Anyway, I just want to talk a bit about food. I don't really know where to start. Food. We all need food. It's a social activity. It brings people together. Usually. As a child, we had a pretty rough, well, not rough, that's the wrong word, poor upbringing. My father's an alcoholic, and he would be working, and then he'd spend all the money. In fact, when I was a child, we had one of these TVs. You rent the TV, you had a box underneath, and you put money in it, and he would raid that so that when... I don't know whether they used to come to pick it up or whatever, the box would be empty. And I can remember times when we had gas and electric meters and he would empty the box and take the money. And to keep it going, my mum had to cut 50 pences out of lino. She got it from behind her wardrobe. And she would cut these 50 pences out of lino and put them in the machine. And it was, I used to be so embarrassed when when the gas man came and he emptied out this stuff and all these duds, as we called them, came out. And then they owed a load of money. She worked hard to keep her home together. And it was a thankless task with him, really, as he was. He did give up drinking for 20 years, but then now he's back on it. He's not as bad as he used to be. He was quite violent and stuff. I can remember us being dragged out of bed at like midnight and having to flee, walk in the snow once, about 3 or 4 miles to my grandparents' house. Anyway, as a consequence of this, sometimes food was very scarce. We didn't have a car. My dad had been banned for driving for 10 years, which I don't want to go into on Audio Boom. And my mum has never learnt to drive, mostly because he told her that she would be... I begged her not to drive when I was about 10, because he used to say that she was stupid, that she'd never be able to do it. I don't know why she listened to him. I wish she didn't. But, I mean, she wouldn't do that now if she had her life over again. But I remember hearing him once say that she would be signing a death warrant if she learnt to drive, and I begged her not to do it because I believed what he said. So food was often scarce. Sometimes we would just eat bread and jam. You know, that would be all we had to eat in a day. We had some Brussels sprouts growing in the garden, and she would cut the tops off before the Brussels were ready, and we would just, she'd cook the leaves up like cabbage and we'd have that. I was a very poor eater anyway. She used to be ashamed to take me out because she said my arms were like matchsticks. And she used to buy me these tonics, Minidex and all this stuff with iron and vitamins and things that were supposed to encourage me to eat. When I went away to school, when I went away to boarding school when I was nearly 8, the food was awful. I can remember my first tea there, which was like about 4:30. And it was chopped up chunks of Spam with quarters of cold tomato. Oh. And tea in a plastic cup that smelt like mould or dandruff. And it was really weak, milky tea, which I absolutely can't stand. We used to have things like Spam fritters for breakfast. And Friday dinner time was a horrible fish with soggy chips and beans. I can't even remember any of the other meals, but I don't remember any of them being nice. The only thing was nice when we were a bit older and we could stay up later. At 7 o'clock, we'd have supper and they'd make us... We'd go in and have Marmite sandwiches, like cut into triangles, or sandwich bread sandwiches, or fish paste, or something like that. That was the only thing I can ever remember liking at school. And sweets, of course. We had, we used to go to the village once a week, walk to the village and go in the shop. And we had an allowance, I suppose, our parents sent it. And we bought the old-fashioned types of sweets where they used to weigh it out in the scales, pear drops, Tom Thumb drops, or whatever they were called, white mice, sugar mice. We had these things called whistling snakes, which weren't sweets. They were like a plastic snake and you blew it and it went like that. All the jelly stuff and pineapple cubes and cola cubes and milk bottles and laces and strawberry and lemon, sherbet, strawberries and lemons. And anyway, all those, all that stuff. And of course, there was chocolates, there was Curly Whirlies and Freddo the Frogs and all this crap, minstrels when they first came out. And we all had a box, and at 1:30 after lunch, we would go into a certain room. When we got into the, like, the juniors, when we got into, the seniors, sorry, which was my last year there, was considered seniors, we had our own lockers and we could keep our own stuff in there. But up until then, it was locked away in this cupboard in classroom four. And we went there, we all queued up, and some people had shoe boxes, which I used to think was unfair because they were big. I had an old-fashioned OXO tin. It was red and it had OXO in big white letters on the top. I could see it then. So that was the highlight of the day, really. And sometimes we used to secrete sweets up into the dormitories and eat them after lights out. Very bad. Then I moved on to secondary school, and the food was, I think it just hit an all-time low, really, for the first couple of years. My school was in Hertfordshire, near to Rickmansworth, in a village called Chorley Wood. And they used to employ caterers called Midland Caterers. And we had a big fat cook, and she had really white hair, and her name was Mrs. Piggott. And she made the most disgusting scrambled egg. It was like a block with a thick brown skin on the top. Breakfast would consist of a bowl of cereal, which we didn't choose. It was just like it was already set out when we got in there in the dish. It would be Rice Krispies, cornflakes, Weetabix, shredded wheat. So on Sunday, sometimes porridge, which was the worst thing of all. And then afterwards, we had to eat a cooked breakfast, and it would be like sausage and beans, bacon and beans, poached egg, and tomatoes, stuff like that. The only thing I liked was fried bread and beans. I loved that. And then there was toast on the table. And they used to come round with these vitamin pills, and they were like the size of your little fingernail, and they were like an oval shape, and they smelt like rubber, and we hated them. And so often we put them in our pockets, and I can remember people used to burst them in assembly, and everyone knew what it was because the smell was so pungent. That was breakfast, and I hated breakfast. I could not eat in the mornings, and I really struggled with it, really struggled. In fact, when I first went to the school, I was really homesick. I was both times. And I didn't eat for about a week the first time. And I can remember the headmistress trying to force cornflakes down me and me having tears all running down my face because I wanted to go home. But anyway, that's another story. So I wasn't a great fan of food, to be honest. I had put on quite a bit of weight by then. I don't know how, probably from eating sweets. Again, we used to go to we used to have a tuck shop in our first year until we got our first privileges, which meant we could go to the village shop. And every year had a certain day they went. Like one year was on a Monday. Whatever, you went down and you had your pocket money. You went down and bought what you wanted. I remember buying big boxes of sugar lumps and having them in my desk and eating them in the lessons. No wonder I ended up having so many fillings when I was young. Although I hate sugar in tea, and I didn't even drink sugar in tea then. At mealtimes, I drank water. The choice was tea, milk or water. And every half term, we had to choose what we wanted for that half term. I never, ever, ever, in the 7 years I was there, had anything other than water with my meals, ever. That doesn't mean to say that I never drank anything else, because when we got into the fifth year, we were in double rooms with a kettle, and we had hot chocolate and tea and coffee and stuff then, from then onwards. But with my actual meals, I never drank anything but water. Because the milk was warm, which I hate, and the tea was foul. Well, I mean, not that I ever tried the tea. I don't think I did, but I did know that the milk was warm because, you know, if you picked up someone's glass of milk, you could tell it hadn't just come out straight out the fridge. It probably sat there like for like a couple of hours where they'd poured it out before supper time or whatever. Now, the food was really awful. It was Irish stew on Mondays, which was like basically just gristly, uncooked, not cooked properly beef with fat on it. Horrible carrots, instant mash. Oh, it was really gross. The puddings were even worse. I've never been a fan of sweet things, particularly gooseberry crumble, rhubarb tart. Oh. Treacle sponge, custard, rice pudding. Oh, I hated all those things. The only thing I ever liked at school was Arctic roll and maybe like ice cream and fruit or something like that I would eat. I hated trifle. Oh, chocolate pudding and chocolate sauce I liked. I'm going to sneeze. Ugh, excuse me, that wasn't a proper one. Most unsatisfactory. Anyway, in the second year, we had new cooks, Mr. and Mrs. Kelly, who were Scottish, and they lived in what they called the stable flats, which were at one point part of the school grounds, and they were obviously where the stables used to be when it was a country mansion. But now, then there was a gate that separated. They were just outside the boundary of the school gate, at the back end of the school, the back drive, and they lived there. Now, Mr. Kelly liked his drink. He liked his old booze. And stories went round that he'd turn up home drunk at 3 o'clock in the morning and be banging on the stable flats to be let in. And then every time thing hit an all-time low when he actually turned up to serve breakfast in his striped pyjamas, obviously with pretty drunk from the night before. They did introduce some interesting foods. We had salads with fruit in, like sultanas and stuff, which was actually quite nice because on a Sunday before that, we had this disgusting thing called high tea, which I better explain. We had breakfast, then we'd have the main meal would be at lunchtime. That was dinner, like school dinner, like the Irish stew or the whatever. Sometimes, you know, roast dinner on a Sunday. And we'd always have a teacher on our table, they were head of the table at lunchtime. We had a different like one. They'd just choose what table they sat at, so we didn't know who was going to sit at our table that day. So at night we had supper, like about 7:15, and that was something like macaroni cheese, or I can remember it just being cooked celery, another thing I absolutely loathed. Pizzas, which were like burnt bits of crisp bread. The macaroni cheese didn't have any cheese in that I could ever taste, and I thought I hated it till later on in life. Same with pizza. Ravioli, it's just a snack like that, and then we'd have a bowl of fruit on the table, like apples, just all, you know, one thing. Or bananas, and we'd have that. We'd have a chocolate biscuit, like a taxi or a club or whatever, a wrapped biscuit. And then there was always bread and butter. If you wanted to eat bread and butter, you can have as much bread and butter as you want, and you can help yourself to as much drinks as you want. You know, you could go and fill your. I don't know about tea. I suppose you could, but you could go and fill up your glass with milk or water. There was jugs on the table at the top near the serving hatch. And so the Kellys got fired, unsurprisingly. Oh, yeah, the high tea on Sundays. High tea on Sundays was always salad, even in the winter, and it was foul. It was just something like a piece of ham, the horrible kind of what I call wimpy lettuce, you know, not iceberg lettuce, they're really floppy lettuce, tomato, cucumber, no dressing, sometimes egg and a bit of grated cheese. It was really horrible, absolutely foul. So in my third year, Mr. Kipps came along, and Mr. Kipps and his wife. Now, Mr. Kipps was like a bit like something out of Dickens, and I think up until quite recently he still worked at the RNIB. I don't know if he still does. I'm sure he must have retired by now. But he was a really nice bloke. He was a bit of an old woman. He was a right gossip, and he was like a rotund figure. He was a bit like how you'd imagine Father Christmas to be honest. But he introduced much better food. They started putting a menu up for the week, up on the notice board. And one of his favourite things that he introduced, my favourite things that he introduced, was a salad at lunchtime where we had coleslaw, a lovely bread roll that was, you know, like it was still warm. That cold meat, I really loved that. That was my favourite thing. The food did vastly improve. I mean, I'm not saying it was great. Sometimes it wasn't very nice, but I began to enjoy my food from then onwards. Now, when I went to university, I was 17. I was kind of like a year younger than everyone else. I was the youngest person in my hall of residence. I don't know how I ended up being a year younger than everyone else, but I was. I was coming up for 18. Most people were coming up for 19. I was still a meat eater then, and I can remember the food there was, you know, if you ate in the canteen, whatever they called it, the dining area, the food was really awful. And I can remember one evening eating this boiled chicken. Now, I don't eat meat anymore and I never will eat it again. But boiled chicken, I ask you, I think is one of the most gross things going, because it's kind of so sinewy. And I believe this wasn't cooked properly. And it was tough and stringy and slimy. And in the middle of eating it, I suddenly put my knife and fork down and I thought, do you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. The reason I don't eat meat is it suddenly struck me, I'm eating flesh. Flesh, blood, and there was bones. I don't, you know, you don't eat them. But now, I do have an issue with farming and some of the methods used. I know it's never going to be without cruelty, but there can be ways of easing the pain. I realise that the animals are here because we bred them to eat. They're not. It's not like we take them and we eat them, that's their destiny. I'm not naive to think otherwise. And I do feel sad about it, especially for things like, well, the young lambs, they're only like 6 months old when they go for slaughter, and they kind of personify the English countryside and the Welsh and probably the Scottish too, and the Irish and, I don't know, lots of places, New Zealand, and, you know, the lambs here in this country, you'll hear them meh, and they're skipping around in the meadows, and then you think their little lives are cut short, and I do think that's really awful. And that, coupled with what I was eating, I decided there and then never to eat meat again, and never have. I might have had the odd mouthful of something by mistake when I, you know, you go to a buffet somewhere and there's some quiche and then you realise there's a bit of ham in it or something like that. But I've never deliberately eaten meat since. I do eat fish. Now, I know people are saying that's flesh and fish have blood and all that, and I know they do. Somehow, it's probably a warped belief, but I know there are salmon farms and stuff like that, and I don't know how humane the methods of killing the fish are, but I feel that they have a better life while they're alive than farm animals do. So I will eat that, because obviously I do need some source of protein. We've only ever eaten free-range eggs for years. We wouldn't ever have eaten battery eggs. My mum is also a vegetarian. She stopped eating meat at the same time as me. I don't eat a huge amount of fish, but I will eat it. You know, I had some prawns yesterday and a baguette, but before that, when did I have fish? Maybe I had some tuna last week or the week before. It's not like every day. And I eat cheese and drink milk. But I've had times in my life when food, you know, when I've had a bad time or feeling anxious or things aren't going right for me, when food is the last thing I want to think about, I just feel physically sick all the time. I've been very underweight, which I hate. I'm a bit overweight now, which I prefer. I'm not happy about it and I do want to do something about it, but I'd rather be a bit overweight than underweight. I hate the thought of being bony and my mum saying, oh, you look awful, you look like a skeleton. I hate that. I hated it when I was like a size 6 in trousers, and that was not that long ago. I'm not quite sure what I am now, probably 12. But I was an 8 to 10 for years, and I'd ideally like to get down to a 10 again. I think eight probably is a bit too thin for me. Well, you know, when you get to a certain age, you don't really want to be really skinny, because I think, you know, if you it ages you, because, you know, if you've got no fat at all on your face, you're going to have wrinkles instead. So anyway, you know, my weight has fluctuated depending. I mean, when I was expecting Connor, I got very overweight, and I was overweight for a year afterwards, and then it just went. When I was expecting Ronan, I didn't get overweight, and my weight had gone. I was like a skeleton within 3 weeks. He bled me dry, I think. It was really strange, the difference. I don't know what the difference was, but anyway, I suppose it was some hormonal stuff going on. I enjoy cooking. I'm not a really experimental cook. I used to be more so than I am now. Before we had kids, you know, I always used to be looking in recipe books and cookery books and looking up things and trying these fancy things. And then when I had the kids, it became more of a necessity and something I didn't really enjoy doing, because I was so worn out looking after them. But now they're older, I've begun to enjoy it again a bit more when I've got the energy. And I don't do anything really fancy. I do a nice roast dinner, a very nice risotto. You know, I'll make things like shepherd's pie, proper shepherd's pie, not cottage pie. Sorry, I've got really itchy eyes this morning. I'm not much of a cake maker. Probably because I don't really like cakes much. I mean, I can make them, but I tend not to do it very often. I make a corn shepherd's pie as well, if I want that, while they have meat. I have no issue with cooking meat. I don't particularly like touching raw meat, but I will do it because my family eat meat, all of them. I decided I needed to bring my kids up to eat meat because it wasn't for me to inflict my beliefs on them, and I wanted them to make their own choices, and they both eat meat, which is fine. And my ex-husband ate meat, although he would eat vegetarian stuff readily. And Obi eats meat, and he doesn't really eat vegetarian stuff too readily. He's a real meat lover. When I go to someone's house, I kind of do expect them to make some arrangement for me to have something other than, like, if they're having a roast dinner, of course I'm happy to just eat roast potatoes and vegetables, but I kind of think that, I hope that they will make me something to go with it, because, to be honest, when they come here, I will cook them meat, even though it's not what I eat. So I do expect them to make an adjustment for me, really. I'm not really a fussy eater, I don't think, apart from the fact that I don't eat meat. There's not much I don't like. Okra, I hate okra. But, I mean, basically there's not much I won't eat, really, apart from meat. So, you know, if they just, you know, there's so much of it, they don't have to make me anything. There's so much vegetarian stuff available, they can just get me a veggie burger or a, I don't know, it depends where they're getting it from, but they don't have to spend a lot of time. I don't expect them to slave over a hot stove cooking me something from scratch. But if they just get me something to go with my dinner, to round it off, then, you know, I think it doesn't take much effort. Because people like my family, my sister would always annoy me. She'd ask us down there for a barbecue. And me and my mum, she'd always say, I forgot to get you anything. So we'd always end up having to take our own food, even for Christmas dinner and like Boxing Day dinner sometimes. Oh, I didn't get you anything. We have to take our own stuff, which I don't think is on, because I feel like saying, well, you know, next time you come up for my dinner, you can bring your own meat. Probably if none of us ate meat, I probably would. Well, I don't think I would say that. I like sharing food with people, but I don't like people eating off my plate, and I certainly won't eat off someone else's plate. If they want some of my food, then before we start the meal, they have to get clean knives and forks and take what they want. And take what they want, and then you know, that's fine. I don't want anyone touching my plate when they've started, when I've started eating it, or when they've started eating it. If they want to taste my sandwich, I'll either cut or break a piece off for them. That's the only way they're going to have it. And I don't mind. I haven't got a problem with sharing stuff with people. If it's a drink, you know, if it's my family, like me and or me and the kids or Obi, then, you know, if I've got a can of, I don't know, cream soda or a bottle of pineapple juice or whatever, and they want to taste it, I actually don't mind them doing that. That doesn't bother me. But food, plates, knives and forks, that does. Because I don't know why, it just does. My favourite foods, one of my favourite foods is curry, vegetable curry, obviously. I love curry. I love the smell of it, the taste of it. I love potatoes, most forms of potatoes. Jacket potatoes is one of my favourites, with butter and cheese and baked beans and black pepper. Or tuna and salad. I love new potatoes that don't have to have anything with them. I don't really like butter on them or mayonnaise or anything like some people have. I just like new potatoes on their own. Sauté potatoes, mashed potatoes I love. I'm not huge, I'm not so hot on chips. I don't mind occasionally chips from the chip shop, but I don't really like oven chips at all. So most forms of potatoes I like. I like pasta, but I'm quite fussy with pasta. I don't like it really soaked in salt. I like it quite dry and I hate it slimy. I like vegetables and some fish. The problem I'm having now is my diet's quite complicated because of my kidney issues. And it's really difficult to know what to eat. Everything's okay in moderation, but if you want to lose weight and eat properly for your kidneys at the same time, it's not easy. It's a real juggling act, and I'm not quite sure how to proceed with it myself, because they say at least 5 fruit and veg a day. When you've got kidney disease, you can't have that much fruit and veg because of the potassium. Now, my potassium level has always been on the low side, even with all my kidney issues. It's a normal person should be between 3 and 5 mole, whatever it is, I don't know. Mine's always been I think it's 3.5 actually, and 5, or it could be 3. Mine's always been at 4, so it's been bang in between. Only this time I had my blood results the other day, it was 5, which is on the upper end of normal. So that's not good. So the point is, the few days before, I didn't eat any potatoes, I didn't drink any coffee. So it's probably just poor dialysis. I haven't been, because I've had some issues, I haven't been doing my dialysis very well. I've had times when I've done that in the past and it hasn't affected my potassium level. So now I'm being very careful. I've got to try and keep off potatoes for a few days. They haven't told me this, but I'm just trying to be sensible. Boiled potatoes aren't so bad because you take some of the stuff out. The potassium comes out in the water. Coffee, I'm trying to stay off coffee for a while. Decaf's probably okay. I will get some from Tesco's. I think I'll get some decaf Tassimo stuff just for a while. I don't know what that's like. I've not tried it, but I think that's probably better. I'm not sure. I'll have to look at. I don't know if that's better where potassium's concerned. I'll have to look that up. I try and drink a lot of herbal teas, which are okay. Protein. I need protein, but I don't need too much protein. Things that contain protein are cheese and eggs. For a vegetarian, that is, both of which I have to steer pretty much clear of for several reasons. Cheese, because it's high in calcium and phosphate, and fat. I have to be careful of my cholesterol levels. Eggs, for the same reason, and phosphate. And, you know, one or two a week is fine. I think they told me 4 a week, actually, but I would steer clear of, I don't even have 1 a week usually. I had one egg about 2 weeks ago. Cheese, I've been eating a bit too much of lately because in the absence of knowing what other protein to have, so I've got to try and cut back on that, which is difficult because now I've got to substitute that with something else. And I've got corn, I suppose I can use fish like tuna. Some fish is out of the question, things like tinned salmon or pilchards or mackerel because of the bones, they contain too much phosphate. It's a real balancing act and it's not easy. Bananas are obviously a no-no for me. Yeah, no, definitely. So like today, I didn't know what to have, so I had two slices of brown bread toast with a couple of spoonfuls of baked beans on it. That's a bit of protein, and they're quite sweet, the beans. Tesco's own ones, which are so much cheaper than Heinz, which is why I buy them. I think, I don't know, it's about £3 for a pack of four, £3 or £4 now. I don't know, I can't remember, but I know it's something extortionate. But these Tesco ones are £1.25 for four, and they actually taste okay, except the sauce is very sweet. So I had that with some chili pepper in to give it a to take away from the sweetness. And I don't know, I'll probably try not to have anything for lunch because I don't really want to, you know, yogurts. I have to be careful of milk. I can't drink too much milk. I'm not supposed to drink more than a half a pint of milk a day because of the phosphate and calcium. And if I have a yogurt, that is my day is milk gone. So I'm trying to cut them out again completely. My tea, I'm trying to just have one cup of tea a day with skimmed milk, and then I can have it with a bit of lemon. But again, that's got the potassium in it. It's very, very difficult. Herbal tea, I suppose. Fruit juice, I can't really drink because it's too much concentrated in potassium. Squash is okay. Dark drink, fizzy drinks. I don't really like fizzy drinks much, but the dark coloured ones like Coke are out of the question because they're full of phosphate. Obviously, I have to try and keep low in salt. So my enjoyment of food is a bit hampered at the moment, to say the least. I don't go overboard with it, and I don't get too paranoid. But to be honest, looking at my blood results, because I haven't been dialysing as regularly as I should, they're not good. So I have to have a redoubled effort to do that properly, and also, while I'm getting back on track with it, to sort out my diet and really cut back on anything that is going to add to my problems. Something like porridge is okay, but I hate porridge. I don't know if anyone's got any suggestions of what I can have, any dietitians out there. I know one of my followers and someone I'm following, I'm not quite sure if she's still doing this, but was doing something to do with diet and stuff, and that was Mo Lucy. I don't know if you've got any suggestions for me about I just don't know what to eat every day to keep on the lower side of weight and to keep my kidney stuff balanced right. You know, I can't keep eating a load of bread. Bread's probably okay, but I don't really want to eat a load of bread because it's fattening. I can probably eat cottage cheese, low-fat cottage cheese, but I don't really like it. But something like that on Ryvita's is probably okay. But it's not very filling. I haven't really got a huge... At the moment, I haven't got a big appetite. That's all to do with kidney issues, I think. I can't eat big meals anymore because I feel too bloated, and that's probably because I'm on dialysis, which incorporates 2 litres of fluid in my abdomen all the time. So it must have some impact on, you know, it takes up room and it makes you feel more full than you really are. Obviously, if I want to lose weight, I need to do more exercise than I do at the moment. That goes without saying. Do I think organic food tastes different? Yes, I do. I don't eat meat, but I certainly think organic vegetables, you can really taste the difference, especially with something like carrots. When you eat an organic carrot, it's so full of flavour. I'm mad on carrots. I don't really like cooked carrots. I enjoy them raw. If you eat a raw carrot that's organic, you really will notice the difference. Because sometimes they're just, when you get them from the supermarket, the ordinary carrots, they're just tasteless. Some of them have more flavour than others, but if you eat an organic carrot, they're absolutely full of flavour. But the sad fact is I cannot afford to buy organic for four people. Vegetable meat and all that, I just can't afford it. So I'm afraid I don't very often buy organic stuff unless there's not an alternative. Like, I bought some coconut oil and stuff like that recently. What's that? And they only had organic. So, yes, I do think it makes a difference. As for drinks, I don't drink alcohol anymore. I used to. I used to be a rum and coke person, dark rum. I think nothing of drinking 11 or 12 in an evening, probably with wine on top. But that was before I was married the first time and before I had kids. Since I had the kids, when Connor was about two, I had a glass of ginger wine at Christmas, and it was only a small glass, like a sherry glass, and I felt tipsy, and I panicked because I thought, what if he was ill in the night and I didn't have my wits about me, or I was too deep asleep and I didn't hear him crying or something. So I didn't completely give it up then. I didn't drink, but the only time I would drink would be Christmas Day and Boxing Day. I'd have a glass of wine with my dinner, and I did that up to about 12 years ago, and then I stopped altogether. I actually had an alcoholic drink in 2011. I had some Pimm's at a garden party, and I came home. I've got a real thing about alcohol. I've got a real problem with it because of my family background. It runs in families. Loads of my dad's family have been alcoholics. My current family, I think, my sister's two sons are, she is, I think. Well, they've all got the potential for it. And I was afraid of, I don't think I have got the potential for it, but I wouldn't ever want to risk it again. So that's why I won't ever drink again in my lifetime. Not to mention the fact of my kidneys, of course. So when I had this drink back in 2011, I came home and I was going through a really bad time at the moment. It was like June 2011. It was just a few weeks before I got to know Obi, and I was going through a really awful patch with one thing and another, and a lot of worries were weighing heavily on me, and I had this drink. I didn't really want it, but it was Pimm's and lemonade, I think. It wasn't even that strong, but it was a big plastic cup. I had two of them, not just the, you know, like the little plastic cups you get like at Fates and stuff. It was a bigger size up than that. I think I had two. And when I went home, I didn't feel drunk. I just felt relaxed. I lay down on the bed and I felt like all my worries dropped away from me. And it was such a lovely feeling. And then alarm bells went, and I said to myself, don't do it. Because at the time I was going through such traumas that it would have been easy to want to get that feeling again, to drop all my, because all my worries, they felt like it just dropped away. They didn't really, but I had the sensation that they did, I suppose, because I completely relaxed. And I said to myself, don't do it again. You know, it's bad, this is a warning. And I took it, and I haven't, had a drink since, and I don't want to. You know, I will buy wine for my risotto, and, I always pour out a cup full, a big mug to put in there, and Obi has the rest, and I always smell it, and I think it smells really nice, but I'm not even tempted. I'm not even tempted to kind of dip my finger in it and lick it. I don't want to taste it. I like the smell of it. It reminds me of good times, you know, going out with my friends from work and all. You know, it reminds me of nice times, and I want to keep it that way. So I don't drink alcohol. As for other drinks, I'm probably a bit boring. I do like coffee, but again, I'm not a. I've got my Tassimo, which I love, but I'm not I'm not one of these people who has to start the day with coffee. I can't start the day with coffee. It would make me ill. It would make me anxious. It would upset my stomach. It would make me feel sick. I used to be a coffee drinker in the mornings when I was working in London. When I had got pregnant with Connor, I couldn't stand the smell of coffee anymore. And so I switched to tea, chamomile tea and the ordinary tea, and that's how I've stayed. I love the smell of coffee again now. It was just when I was pregnant, I couldn't stand the smell of it. or any kind of food for a while. I wasn't sick or anything, I just couldn't bear food, the smell of it. It would just turn my stomach. You know, I'd go into a supermarket and I couldn't wait to get out because I couldn't stand the smell of all the bakery and everything, which are smells I normally love. So I went from drinking coffee then. I've never gone back to drinking coffee in the mornings. I drink usually ordinary tea and peppermint tea, actually. I often have a cup, two cups together at the same time, and I drink the ordinary tea first and then the peppermint tea, which I don't particularly like, but I drink it because it's good, because I tend to often feel queasy in the morning. I always have done ever since the days of school, and that tends to help blow that away. I like some soft drinks. I like nice lemonade, not the stuff you get in Tesco's that's like 50 pence a bottle or whatever it is that just tastes like fizzy sugared water. I like proper lemonade that tastes of lemon. I really like Coke, but I can't drink it at the moment. I like Coke with some ice and a bit of lemon in it, so that it's not too... I think it's probably Pepsi that I like. When you put the ice and the lemon in it, it takes some of the fizziness away, and it's just really... I really love that drink. Blackcurrant and soda I quite like. Orange juice and lemonade I like. Again, I can't go too heavy on the orange juice, but I like that drink. Obviously tea, lots of herbal teas. I think that's about it, really. I like fruit. I love plums. They're my weakness. Plums, raspberries, strawberries. But again, you know, as with the vegetables, I have to go easy on them, unfortunately. That's the only thing I can think that's probably made my potassium level go up, apart from not dialysing properly, and that's because I've been eating so many plums. But I've run out now till my next Tesco's delivery, so... I think that's probably about it. I like Chinese food too, but I prefer Indian, I prefer curry. I like fish and chips now and again, you know, now and again it doesn't hurt. It's really nice. I have to be really hungry to eat fish and chips. I don't like oven fish and chips much. I like it from the chip shop. I don't mind having McDonald's, a veggie burger or whatever once in a blue moon. I'm not mad on that kind of stuff, really, but I prefer curry if I had to choose. If I had to choose a favourite food, I think I'd have to choose curry out of everything. I love it. Anyway, I think I've waffled on enough, and I'll speak to you all soon. Bye for now. Oh, shut up. Because your buddy did an audio boo with that on it.